Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, yeah, we'll be taking your phone calls in the next half hour of the show. And then, of course, Freedom Friday, the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be taking your phone calls. And then Open Lines Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. A lot to get to. The only addition we've got in the 9 o'clock hour is Allie Bradley is a reporter with News Nation. I don't know if you guys have heard about News Nation, a new news network out there, but I've been seeing their stuff a lot when I've been catching the Trump War Room tweets. But Allie Bradley was on the ground in Whitefish as Border Patrol officials arrested several illegal aliens, and she's going to be calling in to this show for part of the 9 o'clock hour to give us an update on what she is seeing on the ground in the Flathead Valley. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, Freedom Friday, always great to look at the bright side with our friend Becky Hillier. Becky, good to see you.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Great to be here.
I like your hat. Boots, beer, and bonfires. I'm in.
And that's Montana.
Can I
right?
bring my camper? Can I bring the family camper? That's the only question
bring,
I have.
Bring the camper, bring the family. You know, I'll supply the boots, beer, and the bonfire for you.
You know, that was one of the best parts about being in small town Montana.
Oh,
is,
boy.
Is it was like, okay, where's the bonfire at tonight? Right?
Yep.
Okay, who's your DD and where's the bonfire at tonight? And there were multiple different locations. You know,
yeah.
It was a constant cat and mouse game, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is you knew all the local law enforcement officers, too. They knew where all the spots were, too. So, you know, you kind of have a little wink and a nod. Sometimes they just look the other direction and you go about your merry way. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I heard somebody say once, you're not really a true Montanan if you haven't ever gotten a minor in possession. I never got a minor in possession.
You didn't?
Can you
okay,
believe that?
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, I guess I'm proud of that.
We can start telling stories. Yeah, no, that's something to be proud of, yeah, because you certainly don't want to encourage
no,
it.
No, heck no.
You know, especially, you know, some kids it just take it out of hand, and then it just sets you on a bad course for the
right.
rest of your life. And so yeah, you hate to be promoting it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, hey, when you were growing up in Montana, that was
right.
just, you know, how it was,
it's
right?
kind of a rite of passage for some kids, you know. I mean, some of my friends did, but yeah, I never did. And I remember telling my mom, hey, I never got an MIP. I was a good girl.
So the funniest thing was like I'm back in Glasgow, Montana the summer after my freshman year of college, and you know, staying with my grandma and you know, I think it was it 4th of July, I can't remember when it was, but it was like I had to work. Everybody's out, they're gonna camp and have a bonfire, right? But I had to work, and I didn't get out there till like 11 o'clock at night. So I didn't even have hardly anything. I had like a sip, little
right,
sip of
right.
something. And the whole thing got busted. People were jumping in the lake, you know, swimming in the lake and everything. And anyway, so Monday morning, me and then like two or three of my best friends from growing up as a kid in Glasgow, because I had moved away for several years, we're all on the couch outside the judge's chambers, and the judge comes around the corner and she says, hey, Aaron, how's your mom?
That's a small town for you.
There you go.
Gotta love it.
There you go. There you go.
That's great.
Do the crime, do the time,
yep.
Pay the penalty, whatever,
yep.
you know. But hey, either way, hey, we're not going to encourage you to do it, but just designated driver.
Right, just be responsible.
And you got
please.
Uber now in the
yes.
bigger towns, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe not the smaller towns.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny across the region today. Highs ranging from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies into the evening. Low temperatures from the upper 30s to around 40. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun. A late-day shower chance towards Bozeman. Highs around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Most journalists are stunned by President Trump blaming the lack of any progress toward a peace deal in Ukraine on Volodymyr Zelensky. He has asked nothing of Russia. He says that Russia's making great sacrifices. I don't see where that's happening at all. What the Russians want to do, and which they did with one of the most vicious attacks on Kyiv of the entire war, is to cement their gains on the ground. And the fact that this timing of it when Trump claims he's putting pressure on him, we've seen no evidence of it, makes it all the worst. So he's saying because Zelensky says he won't agree to allow the Russians to keep Crimea, there's no question that he's not going to get Crimea back after more than a decade. Therefore, it's Zelensky's fault. It's Vladimir Putin's fault for invading Ukraine in the first place. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We will break down the absolute latest in the bonkers world of Trump and his would-be obstacles. We'll give you the latest on all of that. Plus, I'll be in Washington, D.C. Should be some drama up there. I'll spend some of the morning at the White House. What do I learn? Should have some good stories for all of you. It'll be the Friday edition. Clay and Buck, come hang.
Wish your life came with a warning app.
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I always got to do a recon on Becky Hillier's Facebook page because she always shares such great stuff, some some fun stuff, some funny stuff, or some just deep thoughts. You know,
deep thoughts.
By whoever Becky comes across on social media. This one was really good. Me, this is a really hard escape room. Manager, you're at work. It's not an escape room. You are at work.
But and yeah. I have to say, so, you know, I post a lot of things because my whole philosophy is pretty simple about social media. I want to make people laugh. I want to make them think and I want to make them feel. You know, that's just pretty basic. So I post some of these things and whether they're serious and inspirational or funny, I think, oh, my gosh, people probably think, I have friends who reach out and say, is everything okay? Yes, I just agree with what this says. It's not always about me. I'm just posting it because I think other people will find value in it. And so when I posted that, I thought, oh, I hope David Allen, my boss, doesn't see that and think that I'm talking about my work being an escape room,
right.
Because it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
sometimes your work is the escape. You know,
like
talk to any mom who's at home raising kids right now. And they're what I wouldn't give to go back to work
exactly.
for a little while. Like, a little adult interaction.
Yeah.
Not right. I mean, because holy cow, that's a lot more work than I think everybody realizes.
And it's not just eight or 10 hours of a job. It's 24 hours when you're at home with your kids and you're taking care of everything. So, yeah, sometimes work is the escape from the real work you do at home. It's a little bit of a blessing to get out of the house every now and then. So, yeah, my work is not an escape room. Just thought it was funny. I posted it. I didn't want there to be any, you know, misinterpretation. Because people read way too much into things. But
I got a nice note from David Allen the other day. He was listening in. Of course, he's the former CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, mm-hmm. so big outdoors guy, big sportsman. But I was interviewing Randy Newberg, who's got a outdoor hunting show and a couple of hunting shows. Anyway, and so David Allen sent a nice note. Hey, I really appreciated what Randy and you had to say on the topic, so that was fun hearing from him. But, so speaking of stay-at-home moms or just moms and dads and parents in general, did you see that the Trump administration is floating this idea? I'm going to call it the Trump baby bump. Baby bump.
I did see that.
They're throwing out the idea of offering basically like a $5,000 mm-hmm. incentive, whether that's a tax break or whatever, to encourage people to have more babies because we've got a demographic challenge facing our country right now. And it's across the board. Unlike the ladies at The View want you to believe, it's across the board. Like, it doesn't matter what ethnicity, what race, that we're just not having the babies we should be having in America.
Well, and statistics in the last several years have shown that people are not, they're not getting married as young as they once did. They're waiting until later in life to get married.
If at all.
They're waiting until their 30s to start having children. So it's
again, just a real shift, generational shift that we're seeing. But when I saw that, I thought, well, we're out. we're not having any more kids. We're out. We're done.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, that doesn't apply to me.
So you guys are thinking that you're going to stop having kids, huh?
Okay. Yeah, I think we stopped after the second one 26 years ago.
I don't know with those dance moves. I don't know. I mean, you know.
I know. He's got some moves. I got to be honest with you. A little tempting.
Speaking of Mitch, for those who don't know, Becky's husband, Mitch, is a member of Billings' finest, Billings police officer, and he's been a school resource officer and more. And Becky, I know you, I don't think you saw this story, but John Jackson, who joins me every Tuesday, he's a retired federal law enforcement officer. And so him being retired federal law enforcement, me being, you know, retired, I gotta remind myself, I'm retired. That's right. Retired military. We both saw this story the same way. So there was a story in the news in Bozeman, and then it led to, you know, the typical online negative commentators mm-hmm. that always yeah. come out of the woodworks. But it was a story about a police officer bingo card. So some police officers in Bozeman created this bingo card that, you know, that had all the different boxes for all the crazy stuff that you might come across.
Oh, my gosh. And do they ever come across
yeah.
some crazy stuff? Yes.
And, look, I get it why some people might be concerned. They might think, well, were they targeting people in order to fill out boxes on the bingo card? Well, an investigation was done. That wasn't what was happening.
Sure.
But the way John and I saw it was we were both kind of like, and I respect people who, you know, sent the story to me, but I just disagree as a you know, retired veteran who served overseas. You see a lot of bad stuff. John said the same thing as a retired federal law enforcement mm-hmm. officer. And whether you're an EMT, a nurse, a firefighter, police officer, whatever, you see a lot of dark stuff. And so dark humor is how you, mm-hmm. you know, survive that stuff on a day-to-day basis. That's the way we saw the story. So we didn't think it was really a big deal at all.
Well, I think that what they do, obviously, they have immense responsibility. They're protecting and serving their community. And sure, I could understand where citizens might see that as potentially being an issue or a problem. But what it sounds like is it was something created, an idea created to lighten the load, bring a little levity to a very serious, heavy job. And I don't think that's ever bad. I think it, you know, for people who are upset about it, it just really goes to show that people take things way too seriously today. And I just don't believe they would have done something like that, handing out the bingo card and it encourage them to go out and make false stops or whatever it was. It really just sounds like it was something to lighten the load and just bring a little humor and lightness to their days, which are very heavy. I mean, Mitch comes home and tells me stories sometimes. Yeah. And being in the news business, we were both in the news business before, and it's very heavy.
You see bad stuff there, too.
You see bad stuff, talk about bad stuff, and you cope with that. You trauma bond with people by just developing this macabre sense of humor. And that's how you cope.
That's a really good point, that some of the people at the very newsrooms that are reporting on the
yes.
officer bingo card have probably done similar things
right.
themselves, because you see bad stuff in the news business.
You
so sometimes you're on the scene with the law enforcement. Yeah,
yep.
Great point. All right. Well, we'll look at the bright side with Becky Hillier some more right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Promises are one thing, policies and performance are another. Saying that you'll cut carbon emissions by one half by year 2030, less than 7 years away, is easy. But making good on those commitments is quite another. When you bring in the fact that in order for reductions to impact climate, they must be carried out globally, it adds up to a massive overhaul in energy production that will require enormous investment. A recent study by consulting firm S&P Global looked at how a global transition to carbon-free energy might impact the demand for copper. An important concession to reality in the S&P study is a recognition that other factors, most notably the industrialization of less developed countries, will increase the global appetite for the metal as well. The upshot is that copper producers will need to refine twice as much copper by 2035 than has ever been produced, both through mining and recycling. How exactly are we going to do that? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. Teens who get more sleep could have sharper mental skills than their peers. A study of more than 3,000 adolescents published in Cell Reports shows teens who went to bed earlier, slept longer, and had lower sleeping heart rates outperformed their peers in reading, vocabulary, problem solving, and cognitive tests. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine says teens from ages 13 to 18 should have at least 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. Sleep experts recommend teens who have difficulty getting proper sleep should regularly exercise and avoid cell phones or computers late in the evening. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also says kids and adolescents who don't get enough shut-eye are at risk for health problems like obesity, type 2 diabetes, poor mental health, and injuries. And like the study mentions, poor academic performance. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Spring.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
For most U.S. farm and ranch households, income from off-farm jobs like teaching, driving a bus, or managing a bank branch helps keep an operation running. In 2023, a Farm Bureau report says 23% of farm household incomes for farm families comes from farming itself, which means 77% of the income comes from other sources. Back in 2003, 96% of farm operators, the principal operator and their spouse, earned money from off-farm sources. About 72% of the off-farm income in recent years has come from earned sources like wages and salaries, which is 61%, and non-farm business income, 11%. The other 28% came from unearned sources like Social Security, veterans' benefits, pensions, dividends, and interest. The smaller the farm, the more dependent on off-farm employment. Among farms with less than $100,000 in gross sales, over 60% of those operators worked at least one day off the farm. And for our ranchers that graze on federal lands, registration is now open for the Public Lands Council's 57th annual meeting to be held in Flagstaff, Arizona, September 16th through the 18th. For more information on how you can register and attend the event, visit publiclandscouncil.org. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Becky Hillier, looking at the bright side of things. Let's jump right into your bright side story of the day here. What do you got for us here on this Freedom Friday?
Well, Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine for 20 years has featured exceptional women in Yellowstone County and Billings. And the last month, they ran a special edition called the Men's Edition, where they picked some men in Billings who are doing really great things in their different industries, touching a lot of lives and changing a lot of people's lives and hearts. And I had the privilege of interviewing Tuff Harris for a story in that edition. And there's a story that Julie Kerber, the editor, did on this gentleman, Willie Johnson. And his story is included in that magazine. I encourage everybody, if you haven't read that magazine yet, go pick up a copy. The new edition of Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine will come out in the next week or so. So be sure you get this special men's edition
while you
can. Or if
you're in Butte right now, I think you can go on their website as well.
Yeah, you can look at it on their website. But the story about Willie Johnson, and I'll just give you kind of the helicopter view, and you can read it in more detail because it really is a great, inspiring story. One thing I always like to tell people, myself included, is that there is redemption for everyone. You don't have to be perfect. If you have made missteps, if you have erred, if you have done something wrong, there is redemption for everyone as long as you have the deep desire to change. And it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. Perfection is not required to live a full and abundant life. So Willie Johnson grew up in Salem, Oregon. He came from a troubled home. Both of his parents had served prison time for theft. His mother was a very dominant, abusive woman. And so he and his dad didn't want to be in the house. They wanted to be away from that. And so he ended up on the streets, and he kind of found these people, formed a little bit of a family on the streets, which, you know, doesn't bode well for anyone. And in his teenage years, he got aligned with some wrong people. He ended up killing two people, injuring three others in an outdoor area where he was trying to seek revenge on somebody. So he ends up being tried as an adult. The jury convicted him as a juvenile, and he was sentenced to a maximum security juvenile detention facility until he turned 21. So for 6 years, I think it was. While he was in there, he said he really had to come to grips with the fact that he was a monster. He just had so much violence and hate in his heart. And because he got aligned with the wrong people, he didn't know how to process or deal with the violence that he felt and the hate that he felt. So one of the doctors who evaluated him before trial followed him through his time in the detention facility, and they had some intensive therapy that they offered. And he said through that, he really was able to confront his demons and come out on the other side of that stronger. Also, who helped him was this divorced woman who came in, and she did Bible study. She offered Bible study. He and another guy who was in there for killing his stepsister were the only two people who participated in this Bible study. And he said over the course of a year, he just felt this change happen inside of him. He was eventually released when he was 21. His parents had moved to Laurel, Montana. And so he ended up coming to Laurel to live with them, was walking down the street by the Grace Bible Church and saw this sign about this church group. So he walked inside and met this woman, Julie, who would eventually become his wife. And through the process of going through, being convicted of killing two people, trying to make amends, trying to come to terms with that, he really had such a deep connection to Scripture and the Bible and wanted to make a difference. So he started this program, this faith-based prison program. He goes to Deer Lodge once a week, and it's called Montana Reentry, and he counsels the other inmates in the state prison who are 6 months to 12 months from being released and trying to get them on the right path. And he has big dreams and big hopes of having a facility where people who are released from prison can stay and where they can form a community and they can get the help they need to be more productive in society. But as I was reading his story, I thought that is the definition of redemption for all, because he killed two people. He injured three strangers in this violent attack when he was 15. And here he is as an adult man. He has his own family now. He's doing such good things. He's trying to right his wrongs. And he's trying to be an example for others who were in his same spot and giving them the message that there is redemption for all. And there's help on the other side. You just need people who believe in you and invest the time in you.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
And so he's done Willie Johnson.
That'd be
he's
cool
done
to tag along with him on one of those trips to Deer
Wouldn't
Lodge.
It?
Yeah, I know George, I think George Blackard and I think were talking about it one time, just how cool it would be to just go. There's a lot of veterans that are incarcerated,
yes,
obviously, who've made some bad decisions, bad mistakes, etc. And some need to stay locked up, but some are eventually going to be back out on the streets. And,
right.
But either way, whether behind bars or out on the streets, we all need redemption.
Absolutely.
So, but how cool would it be to go, veteran to veteran, go meet with those behind
That's
bars?
That's a great idea.
So that'd be cool to do. For you here in just a few minutes, anything and everything you want to talk about here on this Freedom Friday Montana Talks. Back to it here with Becky Hillier. Becky, the story you were sharing from the Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, that reminds me, you think about some of these people, the best thing that could have ever happened to them in their lives was getting busted.
Yes.
Getting arrested, getting incarcerated. And so often people forget that. They think, oh, well, if we're just nicer to everybody, if there's just no penalties ever, that we care, we're going to help people. And it's like, no, I remember one time when I was interviewing Rod Ostermiller, who's great, longtime U.S. Marshal and deputy, and then he became the chief deputy, and then became the actual U.S. Marshal. And I remember one time he said he was going through the grocery store, and he could tell this woman was kind of following him. And he's like, you arrest some bad dudes.
Right.
And so some people may not like that. I mean, even talking with Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA, she's like, oh, yeah, there's been some times when I'm like, okay, I'm going to just moonwalk backwards out of this store.
You never
right
know
now.
Who they are.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but he said that this woman eventually comes up to him. She says, hey, are you that U.S. Marshal guy? And he says, yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. He said, ma'am, that's right.
I'd have been like, yeah, what? You got a problem with, sorry. All right, never mind. But he says, yes. And she says, I want to thank you. You arrested my son. And then she started saying how much better he's doing now and how much he's turned his life around. And she's like, I want to thank you for arresting my son. And it's like, I, again, sometimes there has to be consequences. Sometimes you have to feel the heat before you turn your life in the right direction.
Well, in this story with Willie, another part of that is, so he was tried as an adult, but convicted as a juvenile. And he got a letter from one of the jurors later that said that they almost set him free because his lawyer said that he had a low IQ and that he came from this bad family background and was trying to excuse it. And the jurors almost let him off, but they thought the best thing for him would be to send him off. And he said, that was the best thing for me, because if they would have let me go, I would have gone right back out on the street and done what I was doing and would have ended up back in like adult prison eventually.
If not killed himself.
Right.
Day, you know? Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it really was. That was tough. I mean, I can't imagine. But he learned some great lessons, and he was exactly where he needed to be. And he found people who were willing to invest their time in him and believe in him. And there's just about nothing that we can't do if you have people who believe in you and take the time to invest in you. So he was very fortunate. I mean, that was what saved his life, was ending up in this maximum security juvenile detention facility. Probably most people would see that as the end of their life. It was the beginning of his new life.
I heard you on an ad for Stetsons and Stilettos coming up in Billings. When is that again?
May 2nd, so next Friday, Swift River Ranch.
Tickets still available?
Tickets available at thenile.org.
Very cool. All right. Well, hopefully you can figure out how to get out of that escape room, you know.
Sorry, David. Yeah. He's got me locked up in there.
All right, great to see you. Back with your phone calls next.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see, what was Tim and Savage going to sound off on? I got a note from Tim during the 6 o'clock hour of the show out there on the Mondakistan border. He said, man, I'm going to call in maybe between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. He said, did you see the state Senate in Helena yesterday? And basically he said it was an Adam Schiff show. It was an Adam Schiff show in the state Senate. So, we want to hear about it. Tim, if you can, give us a call, 406-294-0970. And, hey, if you got something you want to talk about as well, we've got the phone lines open for you. I was talking about the Trump baby bump, which I get a kick out of because it was actually a Montana legislator who first used the term the Trump bump. At least the first I had heard it, the Trump bump, you know, after the Trump tax cuts got put in place, we didn't see a dip in revenues in state government. We saw a Trump bump in revenue because Trump helped the economy. You had more money in your pocket. That helped the economy. And then the revenues went up as well. And so anyway, that was the Trump bump back in, what was that, 2017, 2018, something like that. Well, what about the Trump baby bump? That's what I'm calling it. I'm calling it the Trump baby bump.
President Trump is considering a $5,000 baby bonus check to help the cost of raising a little one and to combat declining birth rates. But leave it to the View to call it, wait for it, racist.
In 2024, there was a 1% increase in U.S. births, but that increase was with Hispanic mothers and Asian mothers. So they don't seem to be concerned about that increase. They seem to be more concerned about a decrease in other populations.
Say it.
No, I think I said enough.
You have to read between the lines.
I just gave the stats.
I mean, Greg, talk about a lazy argument. It's racist.
Well, you know what? The View needs to do a segment on things they don't believe is racist.
Look,
it would last maybe 10 seconds.
Right.
And then Sonny would say, that segment is racist. Because in the View's world, everything is racist because they don't have to do any research. They don't have to think. They just sit down and they go, what is in my filter? How can I make this racist? Here's a fun little experiment. So paying people to have kids is racist. What if you flipped it? What if it was, we will pay you to have an abortion? Get an abortion and we will pay you. Will they call that racist? You know they will.
Yeah.
They should.
Actually, you could argue that that is because how did Planned Parenthood get its start? They targeted the black community with abortions. They deliberately targeted the black community to try to have less black babies. Planned Parenthood is a fundamentally racist organization. You could probably look at the numbers right now and see how they target, communities of color. Great point there by Greg Gutfeld, but great segment there talking about the Trump baby bump. And I had a clip ready to roll yesterday. I should go in and see which one that was, because somebody else made a great point about that very topic, talking about The View, because the baby bonus is not just for white mothers, it's for Asian mothers, black mothers, native mothers. Anybody would get the Trump baby bonus. You know, those ladies are just absolutely nuts. Oh, I know who it was. It was Brian Kilmeade had Raymond Arroyo. You guys know Raymond Arroyo. He's on with Laura Ingraham fairly regularly. I'll play that clip for you here in just a second. But first, Tim N. Savage is now with us on the phone lines. Hey, Tim, before we talk about the Adam Schiff show in the state Senate yesterday, I was talking about a baby bump. When I got back from my last military deployment, I started celebrating a little too much. I had what looked like a baby bump of my own, but thanks to Billings' last diet, I lost that weight and have kept it off now. So I couldn't resist because, man, you've lost 100 pounds now thanks to Billings' last diet. In fact, isn't today graduation day, or was that yesterday?
Last night, and that was powerful. I mean, it just going through the final, and it's not final. He said, "Okay, congratulations, you're halfway there," and everybody, what do you mean halfway? Well, now you have to maintain, and then talking about the science behind maintenance and the importance of recognizing that it's not just calories in, calories burned. That it's your metabolism. It's all these different things. It's it's the hormones in your bodies and just explaining the science. And it just even after 100 pounds, I learned so much more. I said, okay, well that makes much more sense. Now I have confidence that I can maintain. And even if I stumble, they said, hey, we're gonna make sure we're doing tune-ups, and we're with you, and we're gonna be with you all the way through this. This is not just a weight loss. This is a journey toward better health. And so, yeah, it's just a wonderful program.
Yeah, the best thing I can do is once a month I do my 15-minute check-in with my diet coach at Billings Last Diet. And there's some days where you're like, oh man, I don't want to check in because man, I was barbecuing, having a little too much fun over the past couple of weeks. But that's when you got to go in, because then it's like, okay, well, here's where I'm at. All right. Well, I'm going to tighten it up for the next couple of weeks. And then I do better my next check in. Or the next time I'm like, hey, I'm going to do a tune up and then I'm going to knock, 5 pounds off or whatever it is. And then when you only have 5 pounds to lose versus 25 pounds or 55 pounds, it's a lot easier to control, because everybody's going to put on a few pounds over the year. That's just life, right? Well, yeah, check out BillingsLastDiet.com if you want to benefit from the program. Tim's benefited from way out there on the North Dakota border through their remote option, or if you're in Billings, just stop in or give him a call, 294-6751. All right, Tim, what about the Adam Schiff show in the state Senate yesterday? I can only imagine how this whole thing played out. A handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats, massive spending increases. We've been seeing that like crazy over the past couple of weeks.
Well, and I think it was Senator Fuller expressed, I mean, it's every day is Groundhog Day, and he stands up on the floor and says, yeah, it's Groundhog Day all over again. It's the same thing. There's blast motions, taking things out of committee, not respecting the work of the committee, but with the Democrats and the nine, they're able to blast and get things onto the floor, and things are being passed 27-23 or 26-24. And then the most telling thing for me yesterday and late in the afternoon, one of the things that they do if you follow the legislative process, is you know, they need to have conference committees. You know, if whatever passes the House, if it gets amended in the Senate, then it needs to go back to the House. And a lot of times you have a conference committee to try to resolve the differences. And the conference committees are made up of two members of the majority and one of the minority. However, and typically they're pretty perfunctory. You know, you have somebody who's knowledgeable in that area. If it's an education bill, you have somebody, if not the chair of the Senate committee, or if it's finance or if it's something judicial, you find the committee and you get those people on that conference committee to meet with members of the House to hammer out the details. And it seems to be a pretty perfunctory function. However, when those motions came up yesterday, there was always somebody standing and said, well, I've got a substitute motion. We want to put these two people on and whoever the Democrats want. And it was always coming from the nine. And it was replacing the other conservative members of the Montana Senate with representatives from the nine and saying, and making sure that, yeah, it might have two R's and a D, but actually it has an R, a D, and a rhino. And so those committees coming out of the Senate on the conference committees are controlled by the Democrats. And so what's the point of having a majority if we don't have a majority?
It just looks all spiteful at this point. Because some of these people have had decent, you know, conservative voting records in the past, right? And so why are they now doing this? It just seems like it's out of pure spite, you know. I get it. You got bought off by primary, you know, fundraising dollars from the hospital lobby to get Medicaid expansion. But what about all this other garbage? I've even heard that some of it's getting so bad that bad bills that were killed earlier in the session are being brought back to life with a handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats. And even sometimes even some of the non-moderates are voting on some of the bad stuff. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and like I said, so many of these things are just spiteful. And I think there's a lot of members there that recognize they are done at the end of this term. I mean, they're going to be primaried out. And I know that I was at a central committee meeting last week, and, you know, there is a lot of frustration in the field and saying, you know, we sent these people to Helena for a purpose, and we're trying to figure out, well, how do we conduct better primaries? How do we conduct better vetting if we send these people to Helena? And they make all these promises during the campaign, but then when they get to Helena, they're voting with the left on every single issue. I mean, it's just super frustrating. All of these things, 27-23 or 26-24, every single vote, and all it is the left plus the nine.
And I think that frustration goes beyond even the central committees. The central committees do a good job of paying attention to stuff, but sometimes the central committees might feel one way, but the broader Republican voting electorate goes another way, right? We've seen that certainly sometimes in the past. At local levels, but I think this is far beyond just the central committees that are outraged at what they're seeing. Some of those senators will be off the hook for now because, you know, they're not up for re-election next year. But some of those House members, you are every 2 years. So that will be where the first emphasis is. All right, hold that thought. Quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump has a plan to fight low birth rates and it pays. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Birth rates in the U.S. are trending downward, and the administration is eyeing a possible solution, the baby bonus. The White House is seriously considering an incentive program of $5,000 per delivery to boost declining birth rates. This comes after policy experts and advocates have been meeting with White House aides to conceive, no pun intended, new plans to convince women to pump out more children. Other options could include education programs on fertility or special scholarship considerations for applicants who are married with children. Look, this sounds like a good idea in theory. If financial strain is putting a damper on growing families, a little monetary aid could go a long way in making it a little easier. However, the notion the government could potentially dole out dollars to folks just for having a baby seems like it could go very wrong and very easily. Money doesn't always translate to good parenting, and a cash for conception plan, well, it seems a little risky. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny across the region today. Highs ranging from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies into the evening. Low temperatures from the upper 30s to around 40. And then on Saturday, we can expect a mix of clouds and sun. A late-day shower chance towards Bozeman. Highs around 70. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans are one step closer to getting significant income tax relief. I've spoken with both Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, and Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. They both believe the governor will sign this income tax relief bill into law. Check out the details, what it means for you and your pocketbook. We've got that story and much more. MontanaTalks.com. Plus, full audio breaking down property tax relief discussions on the Montana Talks app.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. No, you can't shoot that drone. Florida lawmakers are debating a bill that could get some gun owners in hot water if they react poorly by shooting a drone flying over their home, even though the bill is designed to give them some permission in some cases. The lawmakers in the Florida Senate would give homeowners the power to shoot down a drone infringing on their right to privacy at home using reasonable force, but the bill doesn't detail what exactly it would mean for a drone flying overhead being too invasive, or what reasonable force in these scenarios would look like. Regardless, it is a violation of federal law to shoot at aircraft, and drones would qualify. Even still, it is perhaps not the safest idea. Firing rounds up in the air means they come back down somewhere, and if one were to actually hit the drone would come crashing down. Then what? And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to come back to Tim and Savage here for a second, and then we got another caller on the phone lines. By the way, the phone lines are basically open from now until 10 a.m. George Blackard, sidekicking for Freedom Friday, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Open phones for the 9 o'clock hour as well. I want to play one more clip, and then I want to get Tim's reaction to this. So back to these race baiters, these racists. That's what they are. They're anti-white racists on The View. You're going to hear a little bit more of their commentary. They finally get called out by one of their panelists saying, that's not what Trump said. The Trump baby bonus would be offered to all moms, not just white moms. And then they're like, oh, well, you need to read between the lines. Oh, for Pete's sake, give me a break.
No, I think I've said enough.
This white is based, it's just based on a study.
And so the other thing,
but
I will
said that anywhere. I mean, I feel like
it's just fair to hope.
That this is to target only white families.
Oh, I didn't say that.
You have to read between the lines.
I just gave the stats.
Aha, I love her. Aha, Brian. It doesn't matter if there's a 1% increase for one group. The CDC reported in the aggregate, birth rates are down when you take all of the races. So when Trump's giving money to incentivize births, he's not just giving out white baby bonds. He's giving out baby bonds for any baby of any persuasion, color, race, or nationality. I don't know what they're talking about, but I actually think watching The View can stop your fertility cold.
Yeah, Tim, what do you think? If you were wanting to conceive, probably best not to watch The View.
You can't even argue with it. You look at that, you see those, you see what they're saying, and you look at them, and I can't even come up with a comment to it. You just shake your head and say, where do you see this? They are so deranged. The TDS, I mean, and there is no vaccine for TDS, evidently, but it is just so strong in them that they just, all they see, anything comes out of Trump is hate. I mean, if Oxygen says, oh, I love, I love oxygen. Oxygen is so good. Big, beautiful oxygen. They're going to start strapping plastic bags to their head to prevent them from inhaling oxygen. I mean, it is just that out there with these people.
Yeah. Well, Tim, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for sticking around. Appreciate your phone calls, as always.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. By the way, quick shout-out. I mentioned Butte earlier. It sounds like a great event coming up on Saturday, coming up tomorrow at the Butte Depot. It is a fundraiser for a young Butte High School sophomore who has been courageously battling Ewing sarcoma. So there's a fundraiser. Grace Underwood benefit Saturday at the Butte Depot. Check out that story by Tommy O. It's on our Montana Talks website right now. Gail and Laurel, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hi, Aaron. You know, I've never seen that show that you're talking about, but I've seen clips, and it makes your jaw drop. It's unbelievable. That is it, The View or the View with the ladies. That's very interesting clips that come out of that show. Anyway.
Makes my job easy. Yeah.
The Laurel Senior Center is having another fundraiser tomorrow to help fund the building expansion that we needed, which is done. It's complete, but we have loans that we're paying on. And they're having a bingo party tomorrow at 1 o'clock and until all the prizes are won. And the Laurel Senior Center is across from the pond on the west side, southwest side of Laurel. But it's $10 per card, and that's good for all games. There's a limit of 4 cards, and you must be 18 and older to play. And they're going to have refreshments, including popcorn, cookies, lemonade, and coffee.
Very cool.
We had a great turnout in the fall when we had the first one of these, and we're hoping for a good turnout again.
Shoot me an email. Yeah, shoot me an email or a message on the app with more details, and I'll share that with our team, and maybe they can get something written up for our websites here before the day wraps up. So, shoot me an email, Aaron@MontanaTalks.com or on the Montana Talks app. That'd be great.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Promises are one thing, policies and performance are another. Saying that you'll cut carbon emissions by one half by year 2030, less than 7 years away, is easy. But making good on those commitments is quite another. When you bring in the fact that in order for reductions to impact climate, they must be carried out globally, it adds up to a massive overhaul in energy production that will require enormous investment. A recent study by consulting firm S&P Global looked at how a global transition to carbon-free energy might impact the demand for copper. An important concession to reality in the S&P study is a recognition that other factors, most notably the industrialization of less developed countries, will increase the global appetite for the metal as well. The upshot is that copper producers will need to refine twice as much copper by 2035 than has ever been produced, both through mining and recycling. How exactly are we going to do that? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.